But it's good to be in the house of the Lord. It's good to be with y'all this morning. New year. Again, I thank Sue for sharing, for feeling led of the Lord and to share, because God is just confirming his word, and I like that. I like it when God confirms his word. Sometimes, you know, you feel like you're hearing from the Lord, but it's really good in the body of Christ that as you sense something, you're also hearing from another sister or brother in Christ that's also hearing the same thing. And when the community starts hearing the same thing, you start saying, hey, I think the Lord's speaking to us. And let's take note. And let's take note. I think it's very important. And sometimes I like to maybe even keep those things or capture those things so that we can come back to them and hear us say, what is God saying on January 2nd? Or what is God saying even in the beginning of the new year to us? Because he's even speaking today and what he wants and what he desires for us as a people and individually as well. So, you know, my title of today's message is making the shift. Am I making the right shift here? Towards my mouth. Okay. I can hear myself, but I don't know if it's coming up. Okay. Good. It's called making the shift. And in some ways we can say, yes, change is involved with that. And God does call us to make a shift. And we can say this is a new year. You know, happy new year. Welcome 2022. And being really excited for what this year is going to bring. I don't know fully what it's going to bring. You don't know fully what it's going to bring. But we know that this is a new year and it's going to bring something new. Okay? There's something new. And we could have good anticipation for that. I think we should. I think because as I'm going to speak about today is God is about the new. He always is. He's always in process of renewing, of making things new, making lives new. He's always in that business. He's always in that work. And that's, we know, even to begin this year, we know one thing that we're to be about is making all things new. That's just who the body of Christ we're called to be, the hands and the feet of God Almighty. Now, as you begin this new year, maybe you made some New Year's resolutions. I don't know. I don't know if you're into that or not into that. Maybe you've done that, been there, not so much anymore. I don't know. But maybe some people still make New Year's resolutions, or you think about them at least. You think about making them, or you've made them in the past. But you know how resolutions usually go. You're thinking about that diet that you want to get on, or that exercise plan that you want to have. You're going to walk the neighborhood every morning at 6 a.m. or, you know, and whatever that may be, even if it's raining or snowing or sleeting. You have this idea. Maybe you're going to accomplish things long forgotten. Maybe you're going to clean out the basement, right? I don't know if you have a basement. I have a basement. It needs cleaning. But it's not on my New Year's resolutions, but it is one of those things that still, it's on the list, right? List. It's not top of the list, but it's on the list. Okay, it's there. Yeah, it needs some work. But maybe you need to clean out your basement. Maybe you have something that you've always wanted to do, but you've never done it. It's on your bucket list, right? You're gonna jump out of a plane. You're gonna climb a mountain. You're gonna, I don't know, do a flip, a somersault. I don't know what your thing is that you want to do that's exciting. Maybe it's going somewhere, a destination that you just really want to go to. But you had that thing that you said, this is the year, gonna do that thing. It's on my list of things to do. But you also know how these New Year's resolutions often go. Not always, but they often go. You start with great intentions. You start with vigor and excitement. You're excited about, and maybe that first week you do great. The first day you do everything to the plan, and the second week is okay, but not as exciting as the first week. Third week, not as exciting as the second. And eventually it gets to be like work, like real work, and not so much fun. And all of a sudden it's like you start feeling like maybe this wasn't such a great resolution. This diet, I really am missing some certain foods. This exercise thing, I don't like getting up early. The flesh creeps in. And some things go out the door, right? And so we go back to the familiar, we go back to the old ways, we go back to the old diet, the old exercise or non-exercise plan or or whatever it may be, or the basement still is what it is, what it was, and still continues to be, right? And that happens oftentimes with New Year's resolutions. But it doesn't have to be that way. We can fall back in the old ways. Nothing truly changes. And of course, it could be inconvenient. But what if you could not revert back to old ways? What if there was plan A and there was no plan B? There was nowhere to go back to. There was only going forward to a new place. What if that was the only choice? I want to think about the Israelites this morning, and I want to think about them specifically in the moment and the time of the history where they were sitting by the Red Sea. Think of the Israelites, over a million people gathered together by the Red Sea, and Moses was leading them out of Egypt. They had begun their journey out of Egypt. Okay, the plagues had done their job. Pharaoh had let go. And there they were by the Red Sea. And it seemed like God was, yes, freeing them. But we know the story. Pharaoh, his heart was hardened. And he comes after them and he creates a wedge. He creates a wedge of his armies coming and hemming the people in where they were stuck between, you could say, a rock and a hard place, so to speak. There was the sea. There was the army. But maybe more importantly, we need to insert here is there was God. There was God in the midst of all this. They knew they couldn't just stay. They couldn't stay where they were camped out. And I'm sure, and they said, they even cried out. And I want to read out of Exodus 14. They cried out, and they're saying, what did you do? Were there not enough graves in Egypt that you brought us here to die in the desert? It's like, this is going to be our death. This is going to be it. I mean, all the stuff that you spoke about, all the things of God that you were speaking about was being prophetically given to us, and now we're just going to be here to die in the desert? This is what they were thinking. Exodus 14, 13 through 16. I want to pick up in that passage there. It says, Moses answered the people, do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Now that was Moses. But then the Lord said to Moses, and I think this is very important. The Lord is speaking now directly to Moses, says, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry land. Very important things here. Moses spoke to the people. He was the leader. He spoke and says, God will fight your fight for you. But he also says, stand your ground. Stay still. But then God has to interject here, right? And sometimes this was something I could kind of caught anew here. It's interesting because Moses is saying, the Lord will fight for you. You need only to stand still. But it's important that God interjects and says, like, no, I mean, yes, I'm going to fight for you. But the no is you can't just stand still because you have to. There is no, I guess there is a choice. There is a choice. You could die in the desert. I mean, I guess you could choose to go back into slavery to Egypt. I mean, they will come and they will put shackles on you and they will put hooks through your nose or whatever, and they will carry you back and make the enslavement worse than it ever was. I mean, that, I guess, is a choice, but in reality is, with God, there was no other choice. The choice was go forward. That was God's leading. That was God's designation. And even Moses needed to hear that in the moment, because Moses had to hear it too. See, Moses had to hear, go forward. And of course, the directions were there. Stretch your arms out. Because what I'm going to do has never been done. It's never been seen. It's not known to you. It's not known to the flesh. But it's going to be for my glory that this is going to be done. Moses had to hear God's voice. That God's way was through the sea. We can't. That's the kind of stuff that we can't come up with. You know, when God calls us to do something, sometimes God says do something that we know we didn't come up with it, because we're not going to just, a million people, we're not going to just walk into the sea. We're not going to do that. God calls us sometimes to do things that only he can do. And it is for his glory. It is for us to know, and it was for the Israelites to know that it was God and nobody else. It was not their own doing. It wasn't because of their abilities. It was only because of what God could do. And it was for his glory, and it would be for generation to come, generation upon generation, that God delivered the people. And that would never be mistaken. And as they taught their children, and the biblical account goes down through the generations, even to today, it was God who delivered. And that deliverance would happen as the Israelites obeyed, as they listened to God. And even when it looked like, what? We're going that way? You know, like, can't we go that way or that way? But there was only one way. There was only one way. And it seemed to be impossible. You know, it really can be a good thing when there's only one choice. But it's a choice of God's making. Okay? God, sometimes there's different directions in life. Sometimes we can talk about the permissive will of God, and we can talk about theologically about the permissive will of God. Sometimes it's not necessarily significant whether you choose this or that. It's not significant whether you choose carrot cake or chocolate cake, right? There's no significance. It's just kind of what you want. And you know, if you go, and we're talking about, maybe if I'm going to mention furniture today, if you want to go choose furniture, you know, there's not an ordained, that would be a very unique situation, but it's just go choose the furniture that pleases you, right? Like there's ability for you know, Dan, you can make a choice for what you want, and then, you know, over, you know, Leaf, you want something else, something different. I mean, you know, it's this permissive, it's okay, and there's lots of things that it's not necessarily, but there are times where it's really good that there's only one choice. There's only a God choice that's going to make all the difference in the world. Sometimes we don't see it. Oftentimes, we don't necessarily see it. But as we step in obedience on his pathway, it becomes clear. And that's the thing that I think sometimes we have to resonate. Say, wait, I don't see it. And it's okay. It's okay that sometimes... I'm getting a little feedback on that. Okay, because I'm getting some here. It's okay if sometimes you don't see it. Like, you literally say, well, but God says step. Okay. And take another step, right? Take a step towards the sea. Because right now, as you step towards the sea, you see water. But it's only as Moses stretches out the staff that the water begins to divide. And in fact, it took all night for the land to dry, for them to go for. So there was still a waiting there. But there was an acknowledgement that God's doing something, because we begin to see the water part. We begin to see the walls of water and the land drying before us that we could even cross over. And we understand that God's doing it. But it just requires stepping and going. And even, could you imagine walls of water on both sides? And you're like, how? I mean, you, of course, you know, it's affecting your faith. And it did say the Israelites grew in their faith. I mean, they celebrated their deliverance across the Red Sea. it imbibed them with great faith at the moment. We see that it would be challenged later. But at that moment, they were singing and dancing and praising God and giving glory, and they had that faith built in them. They saw this great work of God. But it's as we step into obedience, his pathway becomes clearer. God makes a way, but he asks us to not shrink back. To not shrink back. You see, Israel, they got through the Red Sea, and we know the story. They journeyed through the desert. They faced some difficulties along the way, but they got to the Promised Land in due time. Actually, the first time they get to the Promised Land, it didn't take that all that long, biblically speaking, right? And they got there to the edge of the Promised Land, and you know, they grumbled and complained, and they were doing their thing that they often did. But there at the edge of the Promised Land, they got the reports, and the reports were, this is going to be tough. This is going to be difficult. Taking the Promised Land, okay, there's giants, right? We know the story. There's giants in the land. There's armies. There's all these people, and they look mean. They look ugly. We don't want to mess with these people. And they were so focused on the challenges. And then they were also thinking about the past. They're also thinking about Egypt. And they started imagining that, you know, Egypt, maybe it wasn't so bad after all. And of course, we hear that over and over, that maybe Egypt is not so bad after all. Maybe we could just find our way back there and not have to face these challenges. But God calls us to not shrink back. The Promised Land is for the people to inhabit, to take. God makes a way. But to shrink back, and this is what happens to the people, the Israelites, to shrink back is to find themselves in the desert. In the desert. And this also could be spoken about a people, but this also can be spoken to us as individually. When we hear God's calling us forward, we want to go with God. But when we shrink back from God and we kind of say, no, I'm not able. No, I'm afraid. No, it's too hard. It's too difficult. And we shrink back and we say, I'm going to go another way. I'm going to try to go around. Or I'm going to try to do something different. I'm going to try to make my own way, as opposed to what God has set before us. And there are things in our lives that God sets before us that we need to go forward in. And sometimes, really, it's a case where if and when we do shrink back, we can find ourselves in a desert place, in a kind of a spiritual kind of desert, in a place that was not what God intended for us. It's not what God intended for us, but it's where we ended up because of the shrinking back. That can happen. That happens to many people. To many people in testimonies. I feel like it's even happened in my life where I've experienced deserts in my own life. And it was dry. It was lacking. God was teaching me things. But also in the case of being in the desert, God was teaching me to trust me more. Trust me more. There are things I want for you that you've not yet gotten to. But in order to get there, you're going to have to trust me more than you're trusting me. You're going to have more faith than what you're having faith for. There is more. But you're going to have to go with me no matter what the challenges are. I don't know if you ever have experienced that in your life, where in the desert of your life, God was teaching you to trust him more, to surrender more, to not be afraid of what you've been afraid of, to let it go. And this is what I really want to talk about this morning. Making a shift. Making that shift from where you've been to where you need to be and where God wants you to be. I want to read out of Isaiah 43:18-19. This is what the Lord says.
Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Now, I think this is a perfect scripture for today, not just because of starting a new year, but this is a new season. I don't fully understand it, and I don't fully see it. And it's like anything. It's like sometimes when God says, do you perceive it? Sometimes we have to look for the little shoots that are shooting out of the ground, because there's life, and God's bringing forth life, but sometimes we don't fully perceive it because it's not where maybe we expect, or it's not what we expect, but there's signs of life that God is bringing, even in this new season. In your new season, what is God doing? Pay attention. Pay attention to what God's doing, because the little things that he's doing can become big. The little shoots that are shooting out of the ground can one day be a flourishing tree that bears a lot of fruit that will feed many people. So we don't ignore the fact that sometimes there's little shoots coming out of the ground. We pay attention to that and say, Lord, okay, let us nourish and take care of those things which you've given us to take care of, to nourish and to grow in. We must pay attention to the things that God is doing, no matter how small. Israel was that nation. Even in exile, if we fast forward, we see Israel in exile in Babylon and then in Persia later on. And God speaks to them in Isaiah, says, you're not forgotten. I have not forgotten you. I have a plan for you. Even unto the day that you went into exile, I have a plan to return my people back to the land, back to the temple, back to Jerusalem. God had a plan for all that. It took years, but in time, God brought the new generations back. And oftentimes, he brings the remnant back. We've seen it in history, throughout Israel's history. We've seen it over and over again. God has not forgotten Israel. God does not forget his church. God does not forget you or me. God does not forget us. He has a plan. He has a purpose. And so often, it's so much more than we can think or imagine. It's so much more. God's voice goes out into that foreign land. It says, God is doing a new thing. It's a message for God's people in exile, and it speaks about God's heart for his people. It continually speaks about what God is up to in his heart. Because over and over, God makes a way. God makes a way for his people. He continually restores the remnant, those who keep covenant with him. He establishes them, or reestablishes them, multiplies them, and prospers them. As we see, the land, the promised land, was a place of prosperity. It was a place of blessing that God had designed for his people to live in, but to live in covenant with him. So are we ready for the new? Are we ready for God's new? Not just, like I said, not just any type of new. Sometimes new can be very different. It can be. We don't know always what it looks like, or we can't always understand. I mean, facing the Red Sea, there was never had been anything like it. And God can do that. He can do something that's never been seen or understood or just fathom even in our heart. But we do pray, yes, God, give us even vision for what you want to do. And maybe it's that one step that we're just to be faithful to go forward, not back, but to go forward. Scripture says to forget the former things. To forget the former things, do not dwell on the past. Now, it's meaning that we don't forget, like we don't have a clear memory of it, but we don't hold on. We don't hold on to the past. We're not, it's kind of maybe a silly example. It's like, back to furniture. What if you said, it's time for a living room makeover, right? That seems to be HGTV. We're going to bring HGTV to your home, and you're going to have a living room makeover. And you get to choose. You get to choose the furniture, right? And maybe you've done that. You've probably maybe done that. Says, I'm going to have a makeover, and we're going to do all new furniture. And what do you do with the old? Do you try to keep the old with the new? Do you say, okay, well, I'm going to become Mr. or Mrs. Designer here, and I'm going to somehow make the old fit with the new, and don't know, but you're going to hold on to the old? Is that what you're going to do? You're going to hold on to the old furniture and try to make it all fit? There's going to be a problem, right? There's going to be a problem. You may not be able to move in your room because there's so much furniture, and you can't stack it on top of each other. That doesn't work. And it's going to clash. I mean, the old style and the new style, it's just not going to look good, and this makeover is not going to happen. You have to, right, get rid of the old. You have to let it go. No matter how many naps you took on that couch, right? You've got to let it go. Even if it was great-grandma's. I don't know. Maybe you just need to redecorate it and put it somewhere else. I don't know. Refurbish it. But at some point, there is a letting go, right? In order for the new to come, there has to be a letting go of the past. In order for Israel to enter the promised land, they had to let go of Egypt. And that was a real problem. That was a real problem. Because the first generation that came to the promised land on the edge said, we're not ready to let go of Egypt. Because somehow we think somehow that Egypt might be better than the promised land. Or even if you say the promised land is better than Egypt, we don't want to deal with the giants. We don't want to deal with the challenges. And we just rather go back to the familiar, go back to the old, as opposed to taking on the new with God. And that's very important. We do it with Him, as He leads, as He directs. It was the second generation. It was the second generation of Israelites. The ones who grew up in the desert, not Egypt. They heard about Egypt. They knew about Egypt. And some of the older generations were still there, but they were dying off. But they said, we hear about Egypt, but we've grown up in the desert, and we don't like the desert. God, you know, God provides in the desert, right? God provides in desert places, but that's just for survival, right? It's just manna just to get through the next day. The promised land is not the desert. The promised land is a place of plenty and abundance. It was the second generation that was able to go into the land because they forgot about Egypt. They let it go. In the desert, while they were preparing to go into the promised land, they had an inward disposition change. And that's what I want to kind of end with. They had an inward disposition change, that they made a shift to say, I've heard my parents talk about Egypt. But the problem is we're in the desert. And the promises of God are for the promised land. And they're putting two to two together and saying, we can take on the giants. We can take on the challenges. Because if God is with us and He says that's for us and He's not leading us back, He still is saying there's a new generation that will come into the land, that we can obey God. And we are going to be the generation that will go. How can you walk around Jericho? How can you march around Jericho unless you're ready to shout with shouts of victory? You can't walk around Jericho in any sense of having victory and have a sense of, oh me, oh my, we're going to get obliterated. We're going to get killed. And not know. But that second generation knew that God is with us. And as He calls us to march around these walls, He will deliver us. We're going to be the generation that listens to Moses. We're going to be the generation that listens to Joshua. The Joshua generation. We can take
the walls,
because God says we can take the walls, and we will shout with shouts of victory, not out of fear, but in faith. God calls us to do that. It's possible to miss what God is doing by clinging onto the past, but that's not where we want to go.
God calls us to shift, to make a shift, and every little shift is important. Do you know, I had looked it up, I thought about the captain who would change the navigation by 1 degree of a ship, and how radically that would change his destination point of where he would go. Not in the first 10 minutes, not in the first 30 minutes, but the further you go with a changed degree of destination, a much different place you will arrive at. They say, I looked it up, it said, there was some math done here by somebody else. It said, for every 1 degree a plane veers off its course, it misses its target destination by 1 mile for every 60 miles it flies. Okay? So you don't want a pilot who is taking you from one place to another and misses even by 1 degree. You will end up in a country that speaks a different language, probably. And what to do? The further you travel, the further you'll miss your destination. We don't want that. We don't want that. Shifts that need to happen oftentimes, yes, they can be external, but oftentimes it's internal. Because for us to lay hold of what God is calling you individually this year, and what God is calling Messiah, it's the internal shift that needs to happen. We have to be a people who let go of some things. It could be a lot of things. You know, you may need to let go of some grudges you have against somebody. You may need to let go of some jealousy that you have. Maybe it's causing some family friction, some issues. Okay, there are some things that we have to let go of, because it's hindering you. It's hindering your personal walk with God. It's hindering your relationships. It's hindering you to go where God wants to take you, because there's things that you need to let go of. It's time. It's time to let go. And sometimes it's accepting yourself as Christ sees you. If Christ tells you you're victorious. Not because you're victorious, but because he tells you, yes. And that you can walk in a way that he says you can walk. Not because of what you've done, not because you've proven it. Maybe you've never really proven certain victories in your life that you found defeat over and over again. But simply, yes, because he says you can, and because you are his, you can do things that you maybe have never done. And so we make that shift and say, God, with you, all things are possible. And it's not just something you say, it's something that it comes on the inside of you, that you're able to make that shift. Where there is fear in your life, shift to faith. What are the things that you're afraid of? What are the things that you're worried about? Where you're worried, where you have lots of doubt, maybe even unbelief, that God's calling you, God's calling us to shift, to trust him more, to believe in his word more, to go deeper with him, to not just put our toe in the water, but to get deeper with him and to trust him even as the water levels come higher. To trust him, and to shifting from what we see with our eyes. And what we see with our eyes, sometimes we take inventory and say, God, this is what I don't have. This is what we don't have. This is what we're missing. This is what we lack. This is what I lack. I don't have this. I don't have that. I'm in a state of lack. But God says, stop looking at that. Shift. What do you have?
in Christ, what do you have? Meditate on those things. Meditate on what Christ has given you and what he will provide you with. Remember the prodigal son? Remember the prodigal son, not the youngest, who the story where he ran off, but we remember the older brother. The older brother was the one who got jealous, right? He was the one who stayed. He stayed in the house. He was fairly faithful, where he certainly thought, I'm a faithful servant to the house, my father. And then he gets very upset, right? He gets very upset because he saw what he didn't have. I don't get what the younger son got, my brother got. What's up with that? He was thinking from lack. But what did the father say to him? The father said, what is in the father's house has always been yours. Ask. It has always been there. There is provision there for you, for us. That is there. But we have to ask and believe that God has it for us. So even as he calls us forward, as he calls you forward in this year to take on new, that there is provision there for it. We can ask and believe that he has provided. How do we need to shift this year? How do we need to make shifts? Leaving the past behind, not fearing the challenges that lay ahead, but knowing that if God makes a way, that we can, and we will, and he will provide. Let us look forward to God, looking to God with anticipation, ready to receive. Because really, there is that, it's like going from the first generation to second generation Israel, is that second generation had to have a shift before they could go into the promised land. And sometimes there has to be that shift in us before we can do what God's called us to do. But we can get there. As we pray, as we surrender, as we trust, as we give ourselves over and say, yes, Lord, I'm going to do what you are telling me to do. And please write it in a journal. Please, as you pray, write things down and say, God is speaking to me about this. God is showing me this is very significant for this year. Pray, write it down, because you'll need that witness. And let God confirm it. Yes, you wrote it down, but then let him confirm it through others and through the many ways that God confirms what he's speaking to us. But let God do that shift on the inside of us. And let him percolate desires in you that pay attention to. There's going to be things that you want to do, you want to be a part of, you desire. And even, I pray that even faith will stir greater in you what God wants to do. Follow after him. Because even the desires that he is birthing in you, or has been, it's already there, that we would follow after his desires for us. Because he does that. God does that. He'll put his desire in us. And as we're faithful, let that grow and percolate and grow in us.